It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security.
Welcome back. You're on the National Security Hour on America Out Loud Talk Radio. The on iHeartRadio, the voice of freedom, the out loud truth, AmericaOutloud.news. That's the website, AmericaOutloud.news. This is where you come to hear on the National Security Hour. You come to hear military and intel experts. America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also hear us on our media player from any web browser in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, Alexa. That's AAA. We stream 24/7, and now you can also hear them on the podcast on the same apps. All of our shows on AmericaOutloud.news go to podcast typically 1 to 2 days after the broadcast is heard on talk radio. You can hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, and many, many more. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show for us on Apple Podcasts. We get the stats on that the fastest, and we know who's listening, what's listening, who's what all about, okay? So be sure to make AmericaOutloud.news your daily stop for the latest news and happenings. We mean that. So in other words, you get up in the morning, you want to see the news. Remember years ago, you used to see Drudge. You go up and, he went on the other side anyway. So you just go up, AmericaOutloud.news, lots of shows, lots of videos, a lot of news, great writers. So let's all do our part, share the stories, the articles, the videos, so we can help secure America's future. You can find out more about our show and get all the latest podcasts if you go to the menu nav, at the bar at AmericaOutloud.news under the show or schedule. You will be in the know. And as we say, from Malcolm, with liberty and justice for all. And this is where you come to hear liberty and justice for all. We're going to go right to it. First, before we go to our guest, I want to introduce the co-host with the mostest. Where are you? Dr. Michael Shoy. Say hi.
I'm right here, Colonel. Glad to see both of you today.
Well, that's great. So listen, here's the deal. Okay, it's Monday. The weekend passed. We know what happened. We know what happened last week, okay? It's Monday now, remember? And here we are at 8 o'clock. Don't forget, we changed. That's right. We went from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So remember, if you were on 7 o'clock, if you haven't listened to us in a while, right after New Year's, we went to 8 p.m. So you got to tune in at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, AmericaOutloud.news. Scroll down. You see the National Security Hour, and then you hit it. And that's when Dr. Mike and I are on Monday. We have a very, very special guest. We haven't spoken to him on our own podcast in a while. And we're happy he just came back from the Darien Gap, Panama. Now, many of you may know him, and many of you may not know him. And that's why he's on the National Security Hour today. So we want to welcome our friend, former Green Beret. I don't think you're ever former anything. Michael Yon, who's really kicking it. I mean, he is the guy you have to hear. You have to listen to, you have to watch the videos. So, Michael Yon, welcome to the National Security Hour.
Thanks for having me on. I'm weirdly back in Florida, where I came from, actually. And I love Florida, and I grew up in Florida, and it's a part of me. But that's actually not why I'm here. I'm here because Florida is on the menu of the globalist menu, of course, like all of the United States is. But I'm in South Florida now, and very close to me. Over in the Bahamas, the Chinese have a giant port, right? It's closer to me now than Key West. So, I mean, the Chinese are moving in. We're basically surrounded. And there's a huge container port. They're building their big embassy there. We know that Chinese who are invading the United States come up on the beaches here, not to mention Haitians and others, Cubans, of course. And you see Haiti being destabilized. And likewise, Bahamas is being slowly destabilized, Turks and Caicos being destabilized. You can see the entire region is undergoing a very turbulent time, which is really just building. Down in Guyana, you can see that Venezuela is threatening. They're probably going to end up in war. That's my guess. Guyana has a lot of energy, and that's like having – and they have basically zero defense. And that's basically like having a giant pork chop around your neck surrounded by tigers, but you don't have a gun. And so Guyana, very wealthy, very small, very defenseless, next to rapacious Venezuela, who is close allies with Iran and close allies with China and Russia, right? In fact, Venezuela is getting a lot of the missiles technology from Iran that the Houthis use over and that are effectively closing down the Suez Canal, right? And so they could literally close down the Panama Canal. I saw Eric Prince saying that yesterday. I've talked with Joseph Humeyer before. If you don't know Joseph, he would be a very important man to listen to on this. We talk often about Venezuela and Guatemala and other issues in the region, Colombia. Colombia is also teetering. I'm not sure how long the current state of Colombia is going to last. Let's see. But bottom line is, as you know, I just got back from the Darien Gap. I came back to go on the show with Tucker Carlson and Sean Ryan. The Sean Ryan show just dropped and it's really taking off. And it's a long form. You really need several hours to unfold this. We did maybe hour and a half, I think. But you know, I can show it in a more global context. But we'll get down to the down and dirty here. You know, I'm looking at a lot of the routes of the invasion. For instance, Bahamas is already clearly part of that route, but it clearly also is growing. But also the Darien Gap, where I spend so much time, probably 6 months since Biden has been installed. And the reason I identified that back early when it was still just sort of an ant trail was because I thought that I watched the Globalist, you know, 7 days a week. And at some point you get an instinctive grasp of what's going on, and what I call the paradigm, actually. Let me talk about how I successfully predicted that screw worms and other things were coming back. I call it the paradigm. It's something that I started working on when I was a teenager. I was basically addicted to physics. You know, I loved physics. I always thought I was going to become a physicist. So a lot of the people that I read for a decade were physicists. I was basically not doing well in school because I only wanted to study physics because I thought I could find truth in physics, actually. And I thought if I can just understand how this all works, I'll understand how the world works, which I don't think is exactly accurate. It was a valiant attempt, but anyway, I would read people like Richard Feynman, the physicist, and he was very interesting. That was before YouTube, of course. And people like Feynman would always mention in different ways that you should never get addicted to your own ideas. Never get attached to your theory. Don't get emotionally attached to your theories. Because Einstein was good at this. He would not get emotionally attached to general or special relativity. You know, and when Einstein predicted, for instance, gravitational lensing at that time, he thought that we'd probably never see it, or it would be very rare because it would just be due to mathematical reasons. But actually, Einstein was very clear, though. He thought that maybe one day his theories would all be proven wrong, and that'll be that. But he said, some of his theories on relativity were accurate, there would be a phenomenon called gravitational lensing. And gravitational lensing occurs when you have like one star directly behind another star, or one galaxy directly behind another galaxy, and that light coming from the more distant one comes and hits the back. You know, there's one star that's between our eye and the far star, and that far star, the light's coming this way, and it's hitting behind this star, which is, you know, really perfectly lined up like a gun sight, and the light that would have come around the edges will come around like a donut or like a half a donut or whatever. And Einstein thought if gravity really bends light, that you would see that, right? And so anyway, he thought that, not to get off on this tangent, which I have, that you would rarely see this, but now we see it all over the place with the Hubble Space Telescope, right? What I'm getting to is with these paradigms, I've worked since I was a kid on developing paradigms that are predictive. And one of the things that I've noticed about paradigms from reading people like Feynman, that's a different animal. I don't know. That's a Freudian dirty.
Mike,
nasty
you're just
slip.
Being too humble, Mike. Tell us your background. The listener that's listening to the show may not know who Michael Yon is. What happened to you after school? You went into the military. What are you about from the military?
Well, I went off to Special Forces, and that was actually during a time when young people, because of Reagan, he was doing a big buildup of intelligence and Special Forces and those sorts of things. And so they allowed young people off the street basically to try out for Green Berets and Navy SEALs and that sort of thing. So actually in a high school that I went to up in Winter Haven, Florida, the Blue Devils, great high school. Scott Helvenston was also, we went to school together, played football together, you know, chased girls together, that sort of thing. But Scott went off and became the youngest Navy SEAL in history. Actually, he made it through all the initial training at 17 years old. Right. Now, I've said that before and people are like, nonsense. That's impossible. Look it up. It's easy to find. He did it. Scott was a super stud. We went to the same high school. A lot of people from that high school took advantage of, and this was a very extraordinary high school. Let's say we had great coaches and teachers. They were tough. You know what I mean? They just believed in first place and losers. You know what I mean? And so mm-hmm. we were imbued with those ideas. So I went off to special forces and I got out of the Q course when I was 19. So I actually became one of the youngest Green Berets, especially to get on the A team later. I got on that. Then I went to DLI and, you know, for German, which is the DLI Defense Language Institute, went for German, got on a couple of A teams. Then I got out of the Army and went into business and other things. And then later in the 90s, I became a writer, right? So, but, and since that time, I've spent a lot of time in wars and conflicts around the world, many countries, Iraq, Afghanistan for 4 years, 2 years each of those, right? And you know, Nepal and Philippines, just so many things. So I've learned a lot about war, both from study of war and just being in them, right? And so you take that combined with what I was saying before about paradigms. So I watch war, but I use that, those ideas that I got from the physicists on developing paradigms. If your paradigm that you're looking at, if you think the world is one way, but then you get a big surprise, like, you know, like they're going to invade the United States and the United States government's going to do it. If you're really surprised by that, then your paradigm is wrong. And I don't mean like surprise, like you wake up in the morning in the jungle and there's a snake on your face. That's a different type of surprise. I'm talking about you didn't expect somebody to do something, or you didn't expect it. And so anytime you feel the emotion of surprise, and it is an emotion, you need to examine it and go, why was I surprised? That means I need to recalculate my GPS route, right? You need to recalculate your paradigm. You may need to throw out the entire paradigm, or you may need to just tweak it, right? But in any case, I've worked for many years to develop paradigms where I'm not surprised and they are predictive, because if they are not predictive, they are useless, right? So that's why you'll see me predicting back when that screw worms may be coming back up to the United States, and now they are, right? And I predicted tuberculosis that was an easy prediction, and here it is, right? And I was predicting these things in writing, right? Now, when I went to BASF in Germany two times before Nord Stream was interrupted, I went to BASF, the biggest chemical plant company in the world, and Ludwigshafen, Germany is their huge plant, 10 square kilometers. I went there twice, because under my paradigm, my working paradigm, Nord Stream would likely be destroyed. And it was, right? So I was at BASF with Masako Ganaha, the Japanese journalist. And I said, and I asked the guy giving us the tour of the big, huge plant, what happens if Nord Stream gets interrupted? And he said, well, BASF is dead. And well, it's not dead, but what they're doing is now that it is interrupted, they're moving operations to places like China. They're keeping a lot of operations in Germany. But why was my paradigm predictive of that? I'll tell you in a minute. I then went last March in 2023 to Groningen, Netherlands. I was down in Darien Gap, Panama. I flew over to Netherlands to go on Jordan Peterson's show. And I think I told Jordan Peterson on the show, if I didn't, I told him offline, that I think they're going to close down Groningen gas field, which is the biggest gas field in Europe, right? And again, it sounded hocus pocus, like, where do you come up with these random things? They have now closed it, right? Groningen gas field is closed. Most Americans, they saw Nord Stream get interrupted, but they didn't see Groningen get cut off. That's the biggest gas field in Europe. Again, how did I predict so many different things? Because I've been working on a paradigm that's predictive and never leaves me surprised, right? So the screwworms thing, the tuberculosis, the Darien Gap, I've been amazingly accurate on Darien Gap, and Groningen gas field, Nord Stream, so many other things in advance, because I'm constantly working on this paradigm. Now, Groningen, Nord Stream, why these things? Numerous reasons. It's not just one reason. One is Nord Stream, since for many, many generations, the great game, the West has wanted to keep, you know, Great Britain and others have wanted to keep Russia separated from Germany, of course, warm water ports, energy, these sorts of things going back. They don't want Germany and Russia to be entwined and close allies, right? So that we have a vested interest in keeping them separate. Another reason that I thought that Nord Stream would be interrupted, of course, you know, Nord Stream went from Russia to, you know, went right to Germany, right? And it went right to BASF. And so we know that Germany is being deindustrialized. And if you want to deindustrialize Germany, hit BASF. So that's why I went there twice before it was interrupted, because I thought, let's see, if I were going to deindustrialize Germany, I would hit BASF. But there's also something else that they're obviously trying to do and working on setting conditions for, and that is creating global famine, right? And so if you want to create global famine and deindustrialize Germany, obviously on the Carver matrix, your military officers, you know what the Carver matrix is, but a lot of people don't. That's your, when you're making, when you're selecting, everybody in the world has a limited amount of resources, whether you're the biggest company in the world, BlackRock or Vanguard or whatever, or you're, you know, the United States at its most powerful moment, you still have limited resources. So you have to prioritize, right? And the Carver matrix is a way, it's a planning tool. It may have been designed back in the World War II-ish era by the OSS or whatever. But anyway, Carver matrix is it's something that's used in special forces. And as you gentlemen are well aware, it's, you know, criticality, accessibility, recuperability, those sorts of things. So you make your matrix and you go, which targets do I get the most for my bang for my buck, so to speak, right? And Nord Stream would be one of those, especially if your in-state goal, like, you, first of all, you have to understand the commander's in-state goal, of course, or the commander, let's say, or in this case, your enemy. And the in-state goal, those in-state goals clearly include, or at least almost to the in-state, their almost in-state goals are to create global famine and to create, to, you know, obviously drop all the borders, slosh and slop all the weaponized migrants around the world, and to reduce the global population, and basically to, you know, basically make it world government, right? That's the end state, is to make a world government, right? And so to make a world government that's actually last, you've got to get rid of a lot of the troublesome people like you and me, right? Like us, right? Because we're in their way. And the United States is in their way. Let's say America is in their way. Right?
Mike, we're coming down to the last minute here. I just want to interrupt you. We're going to continue on the other side. But I want to hit that point, because you were talking about Guyana next to Venezuela. And why wouldn't we be there, Americans? It's right in our backyard. It's got energy. So it's absolutely, it's the New World Order saying, don't touch that. We'll get it later. All right. So let us go to the break. We're going to see you on the other side. We have the commercial coming up. Visit the sponsors. We'll be back on the other side with Michael Yon and Dr. Scheuer.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients, Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Okay, we're back. You're on with Dr. Michael Shaw, your Colonel Mike, National Security Hour. Our guest today is Michael Yon. Very happy to have him back. He just came back from Panama. We're discussing a host of things here. In segment two, we want to touch on not just what's happening globally with Europe, you know, with this open border. There's many things. We only have a short time. You know, it's only an hour once a week. But Mike, continue with what's happening with Germany, Russia, and globally.
Germany, Russia, and globally. Now, let's go back to Nord Stream and why that I thought that gas flow and groaning in gas flow and others would be interrupted. Why? Numerous reasons. One is keeping Germany separated from Russia, right? That's one, right? But there's others. Another is to create global famine. Deindustrialize Germany, which goes towards, you know, global governance, but also global famine. So you need that natural gas to create nitrogenous fertilizers. Now, you can make nitrogenous fertilizers other ways, but the main and most serious way of making it is using what's called the Haber-Bosch process. It's named after two German chemists, Fritz Haber and Karl Bosch, started in 1914 at BASF, right? The Haber-Bosch process, Fritz Haber, he wrote in a book on thermodynamics in about 1903 that he thought that you could take the hydrogen off the natural gas and combine it with the nitrogen that we're breathing and create ammonia. And you could create your nitrogenous fertilizers like ammonium nitrate, also explosives, right? Ammonium sulfate, these sorts of things. And so then Karl Bosch came along and he actually took this process industrial, right? So, and they first started doing that at Ludwigshafen, Germany, at the BASF plant that I went to. They started that in 1914, the same year, 1914, that the Panama Canal was opened. Now you see the world population starting to explode for various reasons. One is nitrogenous fertilizers. Another is faster ships and faster, bigger trains and this sort of thing. More other processes, refrigerate, so many different things, better medicines. But bottom line is a big part of that was nitrogenous fertilizers. And now we've got this huge population that are some part of it is contingent on nitrogenous fertilizers, right? So if you're working to create global famine, and under my working paradigm, they clearly are, then you would want to shut down certain nitrogenous fertilizer production facilities. And one way to do that and do on the Carver matrix, do numerous things at once, would be to cut Nord Stream. Then you can also work to split, you know, Germany from Russia, and also deindustrialize Germany, and also reduce nitrogenous fertilizer production. You're hitting multiple things at once. But I also thought that they would shut down groning and gas field in Netherlands. So I went there last March, 2023, and sure enough, they have now shut it, right? And I was saying this in advance, I think they're going to close Groningen. And because this is part of the paradigm. Now, a lot of the when you see these famines unfold, which they almost certainly will, they will create a lot of HOP, human osmotic pressure. Human osmotic pressure is the push and the pull of migration, right? So this HOP will push people through places like Darien Gap. That's why I spend so much time there. And I've been, you know, about 6 months down in Panama since Biden was installed, because I thought, they're going to put us into famine, and then they're going to use routes like the Darien Gap to put and overwhelm the United States. They're going to come up to Florida, where I'm at now. That's why I'm in Florida. They're going to be coming across the Canadian border, which they are, but they're really going to come into places like the southern border, including Florida and other places. Like, that's why I think they're going to destabilize Bahamas. They've already got the Chinese already have some military presence there. They already have a port there. They're building a giant embassy there. They're clearly coming to take Bahamas. They're clearly coming to take other places like Panama. And now let's go back to Guyana. Lots of energy, right? Lots of energy right next door to Venezuela, which is great friends with Iran and China and Russia, right? Now, Iran is helping Venezuela accrue weapons, the same weapons that the Houthis are using against the shipping that is effectively closing down the Suez Canal.
Isn't that something, Mike? Nobody would have thought the Houthis would shut down shipping, right? Isn't that something? I mean, think about it.
I did.
No, but I mean, most people, I understand that. But most people would think like, what, these ragtags? But that's what they did all around the globe. When everybody said, well, you remember years ago when they would say, oh, those sand niggers are never going to get us, those camel jockeys. Bullshit. Look what they did around the globe for years.
Yeah, it's easy to do, especially when you're enabled. Like the Iranians are providing intelligence, which ships to hit, where the ship is at any time. And then they're just launching the weapons. So basically, Yemen has become a sort of a launch platform for the Iranians, actually. Now, the Iranians could do the same through Venezuela. They're providing the same weapons to the Venezuelans. They could close the Panama Canal, right? And so, again, Joseph Humeyer would be a good guy for you to talk with. I can introduce you. He's brilliant. And he can talk in much more detail about this. I can talk about it for an hour. He can talk about it for a day, right? So,
Mike, can you tell us, Mike, when you were down at the Darien Gap, they're building these facilities to house these people. Our Secretary of Homeland Security was there. I saw one of your videos where there was all these black Suburbans and, Black Hawk helicopters. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was April 18th, 2022. I was there. I made those images. I had been tipped off that Mayorkas was coming to Panama. I think he actually published it as well on his Twitter. And so I waited. I thought, well, if he's coming to Panama, I bet he'll go to Darien Province. Not really Darien Gap, but in Darien Province. And I bet he'll land right here. So I waited there for 4 days and waiting for the great pumpkin. And sure enough, 4 Blackhawks came. I kept watching flight tracker. I didn't see any. No Blackhawks or no helicopters coming, but they came. They were not being tracked on any flight trackers I was looking at, but they landed right in front of me. And they came to San Vicente Camp, which I call China Camp. It should really be called like a China bus stop at this point. But interestingly, right in front of China Camp is a highest building, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. Now, Mayorkas had been a board member at HIAS. Now, Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security, Ali Mayorkas, they used to call him Ali, the people around him when he was doing his other work. They would call him Ali, but when he took these lofty positions, it became Alejandro, right? So anyway, Ali, he was a highest board member, and then he moved over to the Department of Homeland Security chief, right? Flat-footed. Right. So you go to highest.org and you can see them congratulating their guy getting in charge of U.S. Homeland Security. You can't make up this stuff. So he is actually a refugee from Cuba. Both of his parents were Jewish. And that's why he was selected to be a board member on the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, because he checked off 2 boxes. He was Jewish and he's a refugee. And now he's in charge of Homeland Security.
And that's not a conspiracy, Mike. And that's not a conspiracy, right?
That's just straight up fact. That's just straight up fact. I mean, it's like takes all of like 3 minutes to find it. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, I love it. The magic wand of tossing racism or anti-Semite or whatever, the magic wand is broken. It's out the window. It's thrown in the fireplace. It's like, I don't even care, man. It's just so gone. But anyway, the fact is that the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society has an office in Darien Province about 40 meters away from the front gate of China Camp. So this Lebanese Hezbollah guy that just got caught in the United States, the Panamanian News reported yesterday that he came through the Darien Gap, which as soon as I saw he got arrested, and he said apparently it's reported anyway, he came, he was going to make bomb or whatever. And as soon as I saw him, I was like, Lebanese, he's just up Darien Gap, right? And so I asked a few people down in Panama, I'm like, did this guy come through the Darien? And anyway, it was in the news yesterday. It was reported he came through the Darien Gap. Interestingly, there was a fire about 2 weeks ago that burned the records at this camp that I'm talking about. That's a separate story of great fascination. But anyway, so the all these Hezbollah and the Chinese and the Syrians and so many other people, Iranians, they go through that camp every day. I've spent months down there. I'm very familiar with that camp and the surroundings, right? And HIAS has a building 40 yards away from the front gate. And wow. So I took Brett Weinstein down there, and Vandersteel and I did. And we took Laura Loomer, Epoch Times, and others, right? Masako Ganaha is from Japan. She's been down there 12 or 15 times probably. But I mean, she was there, And bottom line is we started really hammering Hayes recently because Mayorkas was going through impeachment hearings, right? Usually I'm going after Catholic charities. But when I got tipped off that he had been a board member at Hayes, that Alexander Mayorkas had been a board member at Hayes before he went to the Department of Homeland Security, I checked it out and it was actually true. And I was like, wow, how did I miss that? It was an important information nugget sitting right there on the surface. And it was true. So he went right by he was with Hayes in that camp, right? So he was with the people he used to be a board member of. He's in the camp and he promised $18 million more dollars to build up that camp and some others. And they have. So now the camp's bigger. It's faster. It's much more efficient. The flow is much higher. It's at least 10 times higher now. The flow is at least 10 times higher now than it was when I first started going. I would say a little bit more than 10 times now. Like when I first started going there, if you had 200 or 300 in a day, it was a big day. And now it can be 2,000 or 3,000 in a day, but that number is clearly quarter over quarter is going up.
But right? Michael, what are they picking up per head? What are they getting paid? Catholic charities, Lutheran services, whoever, you know, the Hebrew Society, they're getting paid per head, aren't they? To process these people.
I don't know how they're getting their payment. I mean, there's a lot of us from the United States government directly, like from Department of State and Department of Homeland Security. A lot of those numbers are published. We found a lot of them. Actually, they publish a lot of their. If you go to Hayes.org, they actually have a list of private donors. There's like 9 Shapiros on there, right? That guy, that Lebanese guy, the Hezbollah guy who just came through the Darien Gap, right? I've been saying over and over and over for a long time, they're coming. Hezbollah is coming through there every single day, and they're going to end up killing people here in South Florida. They're going to be hitting synagogues and golf courses and malls.
Could that be
else.
Michael? Michael, do you think that they're going to hit because we're in Israel or we're back in Israel? Is that your opinion?
I don't know what will drive them, but we know how these fish mix together, right? You know, I mean, there's a predatory instinct of Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is very serious people. They're smart. They're well-resourced, and they have a great meta structure. In other words, they're not just going to come over like the lone Hezbollah out in America. They're going to go right into an architecture. They're going to go right into their own world, like the Chinese do. Like Chinese can come through Colombia and get up to Flushing, New York, and have a driver's license in 10 days. We know that they're doing it. So they got the Chinese have their own architecture. The Hezbollah have their own architecture, and then many of most of the Haitians are just coming pell mell. Some come with family or whatever.
Let Michael Scheuer come on now. Michael Scheuer, before we go to the next break, I haven't heard from you. Let me hear from you.
Well, I think it's the same thing. We're ignorant of forming hypotheses or paradigms, but we're also, as a people, we're unable to listen to people and understand that you have to determine at some point whether someone says what someone says is what they mean. And now we have to our extraordinary pain, all of the people who are Mayorkas in our country, Gates in our country, that Nazi from the World Economic Forum, the UN, various UN figures, they've all been telling us for a decade or more what they're going to do. And no one seems to listen to that. And if you don't listen to your enemy, I think you might agree that it is a disaster for you. And historians will go back and look at this and say, look, this is just what they said they were going to do, whether it's about the migrants coming in or the aliens coming in, what you said about knocking off the gas supply, all of those things. It's extraordinary how people who are evil or are our enemies are willing to tell us a lot about their general plan of what they're going to do with a great deal of detail in it. The other thing that I would note, Michael, is that there's been a lot of, you've reported very clearly, and a lot of other people have reported your reporting about Chinese military age males coming into the country in the thousands now, maybe tens of thousands. But what they haven't noticed is that the United States has refused to execute the Monroe Doctrine for an awful long time. And now the Chinese have up to 17 harbors or deep water ports, including those two in Panama, throughout Latin and South America. So the idea and I haven't heard someone say it, but I would suspect that they're bringing weapons into the ports at Baja California, and the weapons for their people are not going to really be bought in the United States, although some will, but they'll be brought in over the border along with fentanyl and other kinds of narcotics. So,
well, Mike, let me say this, Mike. They get in over the border, Michael Young and Dr. Michael Scheuer, they come in over the border within minutes, days, whatever. They're in Arizona target practicing with high power weapons. How could you do that? How could you do that?
Well, I know for a fact that the Chinese have been bringing weapons into Veracruz, whatever that port is on the upper Baja Peninsula. They've been bringing weapons in there for at least 2 or 3 years and sending them across the border. It's been in a lot of media reporting, some of the DEA reporting that's published, and no one has seemed to pay any attention to it.
Well, it's an intentional takedown, Mike. We're coming up on a break.
Yeah.
Michael Yon, when we come back to the last segment, would you like to talk a little bit about the Belt Road? Because I don't think people understand the Silk Road and the Belt Road and how the big play is going to happen. Would you like to talk about that on the next segment?
Oh, we can talk about that for 3 days. Let's roll.
I know. But we only have one more segment on this one. But we're going to do another show with you. Don't worry about it. So Let's get ready to go to the break. We'll go to the break. You guys listen to the sponsors. And we'll be back on the other side with Michael Yon and Dr. Michael Scheuer. This is a very special show.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
All right, we're back on the National Security Hour with Dr. Michael Scheuer, Colonel Mike, our special guest, Michael Yon today. And remember, it's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday, every week, Monday. The two mics are on Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We're on AmericaOutloud.news, AmericaOutloud.news, 5 shows a week. We're on the Monday show on the National Security Hour. We're happy to have Michael on. For the last segment, we want to talk a little bit about Silk Road, Belt Road. There is so much to talk about. We're so happy he's back in the state safe. And you just heard what's really happening. So this is the takedown. It's the big takedown. You heard what Dr. Michael Scheuer just said. And come on back in, Yon, Michael Yon, and let's talk about what the big picture is.
I'm here. Let's see. Can you hear me?
I got you. Go ahead.
All right. Well, you can see, I mean, the Monroe Doctrine obviously is dead. It's dead because the people that have been installed into the U.S. government, which is now a predatory entity, which does not represent the U.S. people, we can see that, does not represent Americans. There are Americans and then there are U.S. citizens. There's a huge difference, right? There are people with the paperwork that says that they're U.S. citizens, and then there are people that are Americans in their heart. Having traveled around the world for most of my life outside of the United States, I can tell you there are a lot of Americans who have never been to the United States and don't ever want to travel to the United States. But they're American in their heart and their ways of thinking, right? I see people like that all the time. There are people that come to the United States and they don't have U.S. citizenship, but they're hardcore Americans more than a lot of people who were born here three generations, right? Especially a lot of these left wingers who may have been here for three generations or whatever, but all they want to do is destroy the United States. They're un-American. They don't want freedom of speech. They don't want freedom of anything. They want a paternal system where they pretend they want anarchy, but what they really want is to destroy the United States. In some purple haze dream world that they live in, everything will suddenly be fine. They're children. They're like literally like children in their brains. They have no idea what anarchy is like. First of all those weak people like that will be destroyed. Physically destroyed. You've seen that in wars. That's what anarchy is, not a pretty thing. It's very, very ugly. That's one of the reasons that the globalists are working very hard to create anarchy in the United States. When they create anarchy here, and at this rate, they will. At this rate, they will create anarchy. When they create anarchy, it will be absolutely hell on earth. And it will be as bad as any war that anybody's ever read about. And that's when people will beg for any solution, right? A final solution, in a sense. And you'll have despotism take its place. Just give us the rest of your freedoms and you'll be safe. You'll just be slaves. And that's what's clearly coming. Now, it's clear that the Chinese Communist Party has its eyes set on taking all of the Americas. Actually, expand this out. Again, I've written three books on Chinese information war. They're all in Japanese. They're not in English. So I'm kind of dialed into what they're doing. The Chinese are very open about wishing to rule the world. Now, there's a lot of people through space and time that wanted to rule the world that never pulled it off and never really had a chance of pulling it off. But there are some now who actually could pull it off. The Chinese could actually ultimately pull it off. And I can see the basic path to how they could do it. Because first of all, they have the numbers. And secondly, they have the will and they're quite savage, right? They have the willingness to just do genocide after genocide after genocide. They'll do genocide the way some people just go to the store and pick up a gallon of milk, right? Genocide in the Uyghurs out in Xinjiang. They did it in Tibet. I went to Tibet. You can see the way that they took Tibet was both hard and soft genocide, right? It was demographic replacement, right? When I was in Hong Kong, it was the same thing there, but it was more soft. There was some, let's say, firm. I was there for 7 months until they kicked me out in 2020. But the Hong Kongers, basically the way they took Hong Kong, one of the main ways they took it was demographic, not really replacement so much, but replacement in key positions. In other words, they were bringing in 100 to 150 mainland Chinese per day for years, and then they would come in and take key positions like professors, policemen, politicians, teachers.
A little bit like Cambodia, right, Mike?
Yeah, exactly like Cambodia. It's the same game plan. And so Pol Pot, right? And so, but the bottom line is, then they ended up taking Hong Kong, but it was like drip drop, supplanting the people that were there. Forcing people to, making people feel bad to speak Cantonese instead of speaking Mandarin. A lot of Americans, of course, they say, oh, they're speaking Chinese. Of course, Chinese isn't actually a language. That'd be like speaking European, right? there's Cantonese and there's Mandarin and Fujian. There's many different forms of Chinese or European languages, let's say, right? And so, but the Mandarin speaking Han Chinese who rule the Chinese Communist Party, they want to erase all these other lesser than groups like the Cantonese-speaking Hong Kongers. The Hong Kongers actually look different to me. They look different to them as well. But I'm a white man that grew up in Florida, and I can tell the difference. But then again, I've spent 18 years in Asia, roughly, right? So, but and a lot of that time was in Hong Kong and China and that sort of thing. But the bottom line is the Chinese Communist Party not only wants to erase Uyghurs and Tibetans and white people and black people, especially black people, they want to erase. They look at black people as complete savages and animals. They're very clear about it. They don't hide it.
I'm glad you said that because I think a lot of black people think that the Chinese love them. Okay, go ahead.
Boy, are they in for a surprise. Because the Chinese need to get rid of white people so that they can, then there's nothing standing in between them and black folks. Because, you know, black folks alone, whereas they, a lot of them may think that they can run the military, they can't. The more sophisticated ones obviously know that they can't. We have to have the teamwork, period, right? We have to work together, period. And most of us work together very willingly. I mean, I grew up with black people since I was a puppy. I mean, when my mother died in Florida, a black woman raised me for a couple of years. You know what I mean? I was in the army with black folks. I was in combat with black folks. We are Americans. We are green, right? And, as you know, when I was in combat, at one point, there had just been a bad bombing on one of the Stryker vehicles in Mosul. And one of the black soldiers came in, and we were talking, and he goes, you know, when that bomb hit our Stryker, nobody was actually injured on that Stryker. It was, you should see what it did to the Stryker. The Stryker, for those who don't know, is an 8-wheeled vehicle, rubber tires or some kind of, you know, rubberish. And they have a flat bottom, which is not good for bombs. And anyway, bomb went right through one of the missiles that was inside, AT-4 missile, and didn't do anything. Missile just was cut in half. I looked inside and I'm like, man, this thing's messed up. And nobody was badly injured at all. They all returned to duty. And one of the black soldiers, he came up to me. We did a lot of combat missions together. He goes, Michael, you know, God held up his hand. That's the only way none of us got hurt in that bombing. He held up his hand. And I was like, that's when it dawned on me, because I grew up with black folks. I was like, he's actually black. It didn't even dawn on me that he's not, you know what I mean? I was like, we're in combat together. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, and he's a very capable man. Very serious, very courageous, very loyal, right? That's the only color I saw. Are we on the same team? Is he a good man? Is he, you know what I mean? Is he courageous? Is he loyal? He was all those
absolutely,
things.
Absolutely.
And only when he said that, when he said, God held up his hand. And I was like, that's what black folks used to say when I was a kid, when something bad would happen, and they'd be like, God held up his hand and he kept that from happening to me and my family and that sort of stuff. But what I'm getting to is we are a team. We are together, but they're trying to split off our edges. The ultra-racist white trash and the ultra-racist black trash and all these people, they're trying to get us to fight each other. And once they get that fight going, then they're trying to split all of us together. You know, right? You know how this fire can go. And so, and the Chinese are very good at that. I was looking up something on Haifa Harbor maybe a month or two ago. And there was this, I was looking at Haifa, the harbor in Israel. And there was this video on YouTube. And there's a Chinese associate professor at Shanghai University, and the little, you know, the bottom third title said that he is a associate professor, I think, of Jewish studies. Right? They're doing the anthropological warfare. Behind him on the bookshelf is all these books on Judaism and Jews and, you know, the symbology and that sort of thing. But he's doing what the United States and many others have done. This is like Sun Tzu stuff. Basically, study the firmware of your enemies or your friends. And use it as you will, right? In other words, like in Vietnam, go out with the Hmong, you know, or go out with the Hmong people or whatever, special forces, you know.
Hmongs.
Right. Yeah. And so, right. Yeah. I've been out with them quite a lot in places like, wow, they're actually cool people. But the point is like they are very good at manipulating, like how the Chinese have gotten the Koreans really going against Japanese and Koreans. They got them fighting each other. Again, I've written the 3 books on Chinese information warfare. We could talk about this for a month. I could teach a university course on it. But the bottom line is they're very good at it. And you'll see that they're studying Jews and they're trying to, you ever seen those fungi that there's a certain fungus, I've forgotten the Latin name for it, but it'll get inside of an ant bed, right? It'll get in the ants and it'll take charge of the ant's neural system. It'll have the fungus growing in the ant and it gets the ant to do what it wants it to do, right? So it'll get the ant to like crawl up to the top of a blade of grass where the cows eat the blade of grass and then the cow gets infected and you know what I mean? And it goes out fecal route. It's very interesting life cycle. But some cultures I've seen can be like this too. They can sort of take over the ant bed. They can come in, they figure out how to run the cockpit and they take over the cockpit. The Chinese Communist Party is very good at that, taking over the cockpit. And right now I think they've succeeded. You know, I think they've succeeded actually. Israel is obviously committing suicide. The geographical area formerly known as, or still known as Israel, I don't think is going to survive what's unfolding now. And I've been saying this a lot. And there's various reasons that I say that. And again, the mind readers out there will say, oh, that's anti-Semite, blah, blah, blah. I defended Israel for years. The only time publicly and many, many times, when I stopped defending Israel, it was a cold stop, right? It was when they started forcing Americans to take the jab to go to Israel. I said, hold on, warning shot. You know, if you do that.
Well, didn't he want to genocide his whole population, right, Mike? Dr. Mike?
Yeah. I was, it's like warning shot. I said, look, I'm just one white man who supports Israel. But if you force this down our throat, that's it. I'm out. You're on your own. For me, anyway, I won't support you anymore. I'm just one, but that's it. And so that was a cold line. And the same way with Trump, you know, I voted for Trump. I'm not going to vote for anything named Clinton or Biden, right? There's no chance. But he keeps pushing that death jab. That's a big deal for me. That's a big, big deal.
It's a big deal for a lot of people, Michael.
Yeah.
Michael, it's a lot of people are pissed off now. For the last week, they've been writing about it everywhere in emails and whatnot. And there's some people upset. They're really upset about, like, why are you coming down on Trump? Because guess what? It's bad news. It's not good. People are dying all around the world. Get a grip on yourself. The problem with Trump, Mike, is his handlers. Everybody around him, they're bad news, man. It's just like our Congress. You say, how did the Chinese walk in? How did they get the ant bag? It only took since Clinton. They bought everybody, right? I mean, the whole hill is captured.
Yeah.
Whether it's corporations, whether it's congressmen, whatever.
Yeah. Trump is a meat puppet like Biden. He's just more, he plays the part of being much more pro-American. You know, in counterintelligence, the four main cheeses, right? Money, ideology, coercion, ego. Mice. Money, ideology, coercion, ego, the mice thing. Beware of the people who are mostly motivated by money and ego. Right? Those people are easy to bribe with their own ego. They're the Chinese easy to bribe with money. Oh, yeah. You want the mice on the, you want the bookends, money and ego. Those are easy, right? Coercion, of course, you need the bribe or the proof of the bribe or the sex tapes or some other crap, right? Then there's the ideology. The ideology, that would be me. I am ideologically American, not U.S. citizen. I am American, hardcore. So people that are hardcore, some ideology, like me, I'm American, that they're very hard to bribe or get with ego. So it's very, so you can become intractable because they can throw more and more money. And I'll take your money, thank you very much. But I'm still American. I'm still going to fight for America. And I'm going to use that money you gave me to fight you, right?
Mike, it only took them 12 to 15 years maximum, the Chinese, when they came to Southeast Asia and clipped every country one by one. And they did it by having two or three Chinese families, you know, maybe first, second generation, who were in the billionaire class. And they took over Indonesia, Thailand, you see it, Cambodia. They had the junta for years, you know. I mean, I was in Cambodia when they were doing the Chinese passports. And the U.S.
government doing it now. They're doing it now.
And everybody came in. They got a Cambodian. They were doing the Chinese to the Cambodian passport. They didn't speak a word of Cambodian. They came in with the same program. We're going to create jobs, right? 30,000 jobs, 3,000 jobs, 10,000 jobs. And what happens? They hire 25 Cambodians and put 5,000 Chinese and have another Chinese community.
That's right.
What they did.
That's right. And then they do what's called they become you, right? They don't.
Yes.
They would prefer to avoid kinetics because they realize that kinetic war, first of all, destroys the stuff that they want, right? And they will do kinetics, obviously, they do. And but they would prefer to do it glacially, to just take it and then take all the infrastructure and take everything intact, kill off and run off the people you don't want there and enslave the ones that you do want. But mostly they don't want foreign slaves either. Chinese aren't like a lot of cultures that will take foreign slaves. Chinese would rather have Chinese slaves, right? You know, Chinese, they want everything to be under one genetic roof, right? And so, whereas, you know, a lot of cultures, a lot of Arab cultures and European cultures, they would enslave other races, but not as much. Actually, a lot of people did enslave, obviously, Irish, and a lot of Europeans would enslave Irish and whatnot. But the bottom line is the Chinese would rather have Chinese slaves and rule the world with just Chinese genes.
Like they did in Africa, Mike. How many years? What did it take? 20 years to take over Africa? Going in there with the cheese?
Watch as they slowly depopulate Africa. They will do it. And as you know, it won't be all these people that think, hey, we're going to fight them with AR-15s. They're thinking Fred Flintstone, we're going to come get you with rocks. You know what I mean? It's like doing
Keep watching those DVDs.
Yeah, it's like doing a horse charge against M1 tanks. You know, good luck and wish you the best. You know, it's like,
we're coming down to the last 4 minutes. Michael Scheuer and Michael Young, why don't you take it? Come on.
Oh, Michael Scheuer?
Have you run into any U.S. official, Mike, in all your travels that has not sided with Biden on this?
I think Congressman Tom Tiffany is hardcore on our side. As best as I can tell, I took him to Darien Gap after checking him out. He wanted to go, and I took him. And he seemed quite serious, actually. Yeah. He continues to fight. But do we have a critical mass? Clearly not. Governor Abbott of Texas, I mean, he's World Economic Forum. I mean, he's right on their website. People say, that he's on their website is not proof, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I get it. It's just a major data point. It's just a data point that's a bullseye this big. However, he never tells them to take it off, and he doesn't denounce them despite everybody saying, you're a member of World Economic Forum. He never says, I'm not, and he does their bidding. He keeps the border open. You know, I spent a lot of time in Texas. I love Texas. My conservative friends in Texas are like, at first they were so happy he's taking busloads of the invaders and sending them to New York. Going to teach those blue states a lesson. No, he's taking the poison and he's injecting it deeper into our heart. He's clearing the banks of the Rio Grande and more are coming in. Governor Abbott is World Economic Forum. And if your paradigm is accurate, you'll know what's coming next. You see the SCOTUS thing everybody's hit me with in the last 24 hours. They're like, here, SCOTUS did this. SCOTUS is irrelevant. SCOTUS is nothing.
Yes.
SCOTUS is not their decisions and all this crap. It doesn't matter. It's that border will stay open if these people are in charge, period. You see,
Mike, we got to bail out. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you for coming on. It's been great. I'm glad you're back in America. And when it comes to Texas, remember, Mike, years ago, the flag, don't mess with Texas. Well, guess what? You could take that thing and burn it because they're just trampling on Texas. Hey, we want to thank Michael Young.
I say that when every time somebody says, don't mess with Texas, I'm like, that's just a saying, man. Why aren't you on the border? I'm on the border all the time. But if I could physically stop it myself, I would do it, right? If I were the governor of Texas.
Deputize the whole country.
That border, they would be coming after us, of course. It would, you know. If you're going to save the country, save the country. They're just talking, and everybody goes, all right, they're taking it to court, the captured court. Oh, there's a court. It doesn't matter. The border stays open.
Florida, all right, we got to thank you, Mike. We got to get out. We got to get out because of the time. We want to thank you for joining us on the mission. The National Security Hour is the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America, and we mean that. We'll see you next week. Michael Young, thank you. Stay safe. God bless.